If you're an Arizona homeowner, then you're a local. So why not shop local and support your local community? Need help on finding those local resources? How about Local First Arizona?
Let's start with the history and the story and the purpose of Local First Arizona.
I founded the organization in 2003, largely for two reasons. The first one is that I thought we had way too many bright young people leaving Arizona. And the more, you know, I'm a small business owner myself, and in my two businesses, all of them would go to college somewhere else, and they'd do great things in somebody else's city and come back and tell me at the holidays. And I thought, wow, how can we keep more of these bright people here doing great things in our city? And so that led me to exploring what is today called placemaking. Okay. And placemaking is when people feel more connected to the place where they live, and they therefore feel more accountable for it. The second thing that was on my mind was ending the massive subsidies that we were giving to chain stores at the time. You know, independent businesses can compete on a level playing field, but not if you're going to take our taxpayer dollars and give them to big boxes to come into our community. So at this particular time, Cabela's out in Glendale had received a $68 million subsidy. Bass Pro out in Mesa had received a $32 million subsidy. And I thought, you know, we local businesses, we're going to have to link arms to put a stop to this. We believe in free markets. We believe in competition. But what is that? That is, you can't come in and plug our competitors with a whole bunch of cash and free land and tax abatements. You get a tax abatement, you walk in and pay your sales tax at one of those stores that has negotiated a deal with a city for a tax abatement. They get to keep your sales tax for 10 years.
10 years.
That's the deal they struck. Pretty shocking to most people.
Ouch. It just hurts as a small businessman to hear stuff like that.
It does. So Local First Arizona started with me just knocking on doors. Today, we are the largest local business coalition in North America.
Okay.
We'll have 3,000 members by the end of the year. We have offices in Phoenix and Tucson and Cottonwood and Flagstaff. And we have a number of initiatives, some of them aimed at consumers. Most people know us for the Buy Local campaign we run that is geared toward getting people to shop and support locally owned businesses. But we do a lot of work around B2B support.
Business to business.
That's right. And we do a lot of work around helping businesses become more sustainable, more equitable, more involved in their communities. And we even have an accelerator program for underserved communities that helps them become better entrepreneurs. We believe strongly that entrepreneurship is a pathway to prosperity.
And a lot of the folks that are listening right now are used to tuning in and listening something on the issue of home ownership and neighborhoods and house, home, castle, or cabin. And some of the points you made at that historic preservation were, I thought, just really, really relevant about where, and you're talking about bringing the kids home. What was the term you used?
Placemaking.
Placemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And making it someplace special.
The best way to describe it is to get people thinking. Here in Arizona, two-thirds of us came from somewhere else. So if I asked folks to close their eyes and think about their favorite city or their favorite town where they've ever lived, most of them are going to come up with a scene that you feel connected to, right? Maybe it's a main street or a community where it's used to be really walkable, where you used to play as a kid. Nobody closes their eyes and thinks of a big, huge strip mall with a big old parking lot and a whole bunch of neon sale signs, right? And yet that's today what we are choosing to build. And so what I'm trying to do is help people recognize, if I asked you why you love Chicago, say you're from Chicago, why you love Chicago so much, you're going to say, I had the same barber for 40 years. You're going to say, I love all the restaurants and chefs. You might say, I love the walkability in the neighborhoods. And I used to know all the store owners went in the neighborhood where I grew up. All of those things are related directly to local enterprise. So you can take that person who lives in Chicago and they're completely connected, right? They're rooted. They know the businesses and they move to Arizona and they throw that behavior out the window and they end up in the big boxes, restaurants or retail, and they don't feel connected here. And that impacts Arizona economically. When people don't feel accountable for this place, they're less likely to vote. They're less likely to volunteer to give charitably. It's really important that we make people feel really connected here because then they're going to care enough to make it change for the good.
And you talked a little bit in detail about the relationship between buildings and local economies, which is kind of what you were going to on the big boxes versus the locally owned mom and pop shops.
Right.
And the difference it can make in a community.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm a fan of a brand new study that just came out. Preservation Green Lab issued a study called Older, Smaller, Better. And it really examines the relationship between older.
I like that. Sounds just like me.
Between older, unique buildings and the presence of locally owned business and how that relates back directly to real estate performance, the number of jobs per block, the number of diverse residents in an area. And they had a lot of different ways that they measured those success stories. But I highly recommend that folks look at it because it definitely shows that communities that protect and preserve their older buildings are performing better. In fact, if you took, for example, Pasadena in California and you compared what we call Old Pasadena to New Pasadena, Old Pasadena is completely organically grown, funky old buildings, independent businesses, barely any parking at all, which, you know, the planners will tell you there's not enough parking. It'll never work. This place has hardly any parking. Compare that to New Pasadena, which is completely planned, all national chain stores and plenty of parking. And Old Pasadena outperforms New Pasadena 2-1 in sales tax revenues alone.
I would have to guess if they would take that same study to the most western town, Scottsdale, they'd find almost the same thing.
I agree. People are drawn to unique places. You know, when you're traveling, especially, you don't want to go to the same types of businesses that you could visit in your own neighborhood. When you're traveling, you want to find those things that have the flavor and unique opportunities of the place where you're visiting.
Absolutely.